Well, Thanksgiving came a little early, didn't it? What a wonderful day and wonderful way to begin a new week. Husbands and wives who are baptized together are very uncommon. The last one I could think of was Ralph and Mary Zambrana. But this is a couple who, along with their three beautiful children, captured our hearts during Vacation Bible School. And they have since been visiting and studying. And so we're so thankful for Jerry and Kylie's decision this morning, and that we get to share with them in their new life in Jesus Christ. See, Sister Roberta was taken from us, and now we have new life that's in our midst. And then with the Vlastelica family, Chris and Heidi, and their three beautiful children, I thought, well, we could use some more kids around here. I mean, but we're so excited that they've come, and they've also been a part of us. Visiting for several weeks, and we're delighted in their decision. God bless you and welcome. And for this and so many reasons, we give thanks to our great God today. I want to read together in Psalm 118, speaking of thanks, a psalm that is given the title, Thanksgiving for the Lord's Goodness. I want to read the bookends of the psalm to begin our lesson this morning. Scott Lowe apparently requested the song for the Lord's Supper. I requested songs of thanks today. Evan, did you get to choose anyone you wanted? But what a wonderful job Evan's done for us. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 28, Thou art my God, and I give thanks to Thee. Thou art my God, I extol Thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. You may have seen this before, the statistic that Psalm 118 is the middle chapter of the entire Bible. If you were to count up all the chapters, there are 594 that precede it, and there are 594 that are after it. And that may win you a question in Bible trivia. But since chapter divisions and verses were added much later, I'm not certain that we can say that it was done on purpose that way. But I tell you what it does remind us. Thanksgiving needs to be at the center of who we are. It's not one day out of the year. It is an attitude. Thanksgiving needs to be an attitude. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says, have this attitude. That's how the New American Standard Bible translates it. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Most of the other versions will use the word mind there. Have this mind. And the reason is because that's a Greek word that has to do with setting your mind or how you think. And the NIV even translates it mindset. Well, I want you to know this morning that Thanksgiving is a mindset. It's how you think. You have to determine to be grateful. It's not just going to come automatically. What do we do when our children are little? We teach them to say thank you, to learn to be grateful. But all of God's children need to have what I've chosen to call this morning an attitude of gratitude. It's got to be your mindset that no matter what's happening or where you are or what you're doing, you're going to, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, give thanks in everything. That's much more than one day in the year. I want to encourage you to have an attitude of gratitude. Set your mind to be thankful. Number one, have an attitude of gratitude when you come to worship. When you come into the assembly of the saints, have it in your mind that you're going to be thankful. Because what's the easy thing to do when we're all together? To grumble. To complain. That certainly was the case for the Israelites in Numbers, the 11th chapter. Look in Numbers chapter 11. This is during the wilderness wandering after they have left Egypt. And in Numbers chapter 11, in verse 1, we read that the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. You see the word complain there? That's a mindset. That's something that was developed. They became like those who complain. And what you see is that thread traced through this whole experience. Look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness." And then chapter 16 of Numbers, verse 41. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." That was their attitude. They were a people who grumbled and complained. A people who murmured. And if we're not careful, we don't come together to worship. We come together to murmur. And we'll complain about the singing and the songs being selected and the speed at which they're led and the pitch of the songs. And all we do is complain. And we complain about the Bible class teachers. Why are they teaching? Don't get anything out of that. We complain about the elders. Why are they doing things this way? Why haven't they done something about that? And we complain about the length of services and the length of the prayers. We complain about the preaching. Well, not really. No, we complain about that too. Attitude of gratitude says, this is the house of praise. And praise is accompanied by thanksgiving. We're going to come together to be thankful. We're going to have an attitude of gratitude when we come to worship. And that includes when we sing. Look in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, a passage along with Colossians 3 and 16 that is often used to talk about our singing. But I want you to see that our word this morning is also found in this same context. Ephesians chapter 5, look beginning at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So Paul's point here in the contrast is saying, you know what a drunk person looks like. Somebody who's filled with wine, it's evident in how they behave, what they do. You can spot, it's obvious. Well, so should the one who is filled with the Spirit be. Our actions should be just as obvious, and here they are. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A Spirit-filled person does that. Singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, that's because you're filled with the Spirit. It's obvious. But look at verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and then be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It ought to be obvious. Colossians 3 puts those two things together. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:16. We ought to be thankful people when we sing. And it ought to be evident in our singing. We thank thee, O Father, as we sing today. Count your many blessings. That's an attitude of gratitude. We ought to be thankful when we pray. Another passage, Philippians chapter 4, that we use to prove other things, but I want you to see our word is found there too. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are our prayers just the listing of things that we want? Just things that we need? Is that the only reason we talk to the Lord? Or when He answers our prayers for the things we want and the things we need, do we then return thanks? We teach our children that. Are our prayers prayers of thanksgiving? Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for bringing them back to us. It's an attitude of gratitude. When we commune together in the Lord's Supper, in Luke's account of the institution of the Lord's Supper between Jesus and His apostles, Luke chapter 22, Jesus, it says the same thing when He took the cup after He had given thanks. He said, this is my blood. When He took the bread, after He had given thanks, He said, take it and eat it. If Jesus can give thanks in anticipation of His body and blood being sacrificed, shouldn't we, as those who observe this feast, give thanks for what He's done for us? When we come to worship, and even when we give an offering, it's in the Word. Thanks leads to giving. Thank you, Lord, for our blessings. Thank you for providing for our needs. I will give in faith that you will continue to provide in the future. Let's have an attitude of gratitude when we come to the house of the Lord. We've not gathered to murmur. We've gathered to worship. Number two, have an attitude of gratitude. That's a mindset. That's how you think. When you see others prosper. Because what's the easy thing to do when others prosper? I'm going to envy them. But the attitude of gratitude says, I will rejoice and give thanks. We see that somebody has a new car, and we say, well, why can't I afford to get something like that? Somebody goes on a trip somewhere, well, why can't I have a vacation like that? I can barely pay my bills each month. How do they get to go on places that I've never seen? Somebody celebrates their 50th wedding anniversary. Well, why did my spouse die? Or why did I have to put my spouse away for unfaithfulness? Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. If you only rejoice at the good things that happen to you, do you see that you just cut in half your opportunities in life to be joyful? If you can't be thankful that God's blessed somebody else, if you can't rejoice with them, then you're limiting your opportunities to be a joyful person. Instead of envying what God's given other people, why not have an attitude of gratitude about what God's given you? It's a mindset. Even when you see others prosper. I can't speak for your profession, but I can tell you that preaching can easily become a breeding ground for competition and jealousy. Why is he so popular? Why is he getting used to go other places? Why is that church growing? We're going to choose to rejoice. If the preaching is being done in accordance with truth, and God's being glorified and the kingdom is being extended, we're going to have an attitude of gratitude that the gospel is being spread. And Paul even reached the point in the book of Philippians that he could say, I know there are others, they're preaching the truth, but they're doing it with motives of envy. But I'm still going to rejoice and be thankful that people are hearing the truth. When others prosper, have an attitude of gratitude. What did Job do when his servants told him all the things that had happened to his servants, to his livestock, even his children. In Job 1 and verse 20, he fell to the ground and worshiped and said these words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb." That's a way of saying we all start at the same place. We all start with nothing. When we arrive on the earth, we have nothing. And look at how God blesses us. Look at what he gives us. And that's why he could say, "The Lord gave." He didn't have to do that, but the Lord gave. And now the Lord has taken away. He has the right to do that. And so I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, thankfulness leads to contentment. That I'm going to be satisfied with what I have because I have all I need. An attitude of gratitude. When you see others prosper, and somebody has health that you wish you had, or somebody has some ability that you always wish you could do, rejoice with those who rejoice, and be thankful for what God has given you. An attitude of gratitude, number three, when it seems you have little to be grateful for. The circumstances of life are such that you think, well, give thanks for what? That happened to me one year at Dry Creek Camp. I was teaching a Bible class of some fifth and sixth graders. And the lesson was on being thankful. And so, boy, I thought they were just hanging on every word I was saying. And I thought I even saw one kid wiping a tear away. And so I said, all right, so we're going to write a letter to our parents, each one of us, and we're going to tell them thank you. And one kid said, "For what?" "How long does it have to be?" You ever thought that about your life? Thankful for what? Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus women and children is one of the miracles that's told in all four Gospels. I want you to look in John chapter 6 at John's telling. Because remember, the disciples are starting to get a little concerned with this big crowd who's been listening to the teaching, and it's getting late in the day, and these people are getting hungry. What's this mob going to do? And what are we going to do to provide for them? And so in John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" Verse 5. Now he was saying this to test them, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are those for so many people?" All we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's the way they say it in Matthew's account. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that for so many people? Yet I want you to notice what Jesus did with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse 11, Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, got probably 10,000 people, if you count everybody. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus gave thanks. Later on, Paul would write, in prison, to the church at Philippi, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Well, Paul, did you forget where you are? And you're being thankful? He said, actually, in verse 12, this has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel's being spread in places it wouldn't have gone. Be thankful. When it seems like you don't have much to be thankful for, because the easy thing to do is be discouraged. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Did you know that Michelle Lester is thankful? She said that she and Morgan have grown spiritually through this ordeal, and that their marriage is stronger than it's ever been. Did you know you can be thankful when you pay your taxes? Because that means you're employed. You have a job. You're earning income. You can be thankful when your clothes are a little snug when you put them on. That means you're well fed. When the lawn needs mowing and the house needs repair, be thankful that God has given you shelter for your family. When you pay the electric bill, thankful I can keep comfortable. When you have a car that barely gets you there, be thankful you have transportation. When you hear the alarm go off every morning, be thankful God's given me a new day. It's an attitude of gratitude. Even when you think, for what? Start counting and see what the Lord has done for you. Of all blessings, from the giver of every good and perfect gift, we can have an attitude of gratitude for Jesus Christ. Salvation. Eternal life through His name. For which Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. You can show that gratitude this morning and follow in the steps of our new brother and sister, Jerry and Kylie. You can confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and repenting of your sins, be baptized to a new life, a grateful life. If you've become discouraged by the things of this world, and you'd like to surround yourself with the prayers of your spiritual family, we want to encourage you to do that. If you have a need in the gospel for which we can help you, and to have an attitude of gratitude, let it be known right now as you come while we stand, while we sing.